I will be handling the first half of the materials and just discussing some of the basic outlines of 9019 and the contours. If any of you, like me, have the chance to practice in state court as well as bankruptcy court, I'm sure you'll recognize that one of the critical distinctions between the bankruptcy process and what goes on in state court is that state court frequently parties can try to benefit from playing hide the ball. And one of the things that I love about 9019 is it exemplifies the bankruptcy courts and the system's emphasis on disclosure and transparency, making things, including all information, available to the parties in interest so that proper decisions can be made by fully informed parties. The Rule 9019 does not have a parallel section in the Bankruptcy Code. It does originate, however, from the Bankruptcy Act. So prior to the Bankruptcy Code, there was a statute that contained what is the outlines of now Rule 9019. However, when the Bankruptcy Code was enacted, it was not included as a part of the statute, but it has become such a critical component of the way the bankruptcies are processed that it remains a very core part of what happened in bankruptcy and was included in the bankruptcy rules. In general, it provides that on motion, the trustee and after notice can basically resolve controversies, cases, disputes. You get a court approval of those. The majority rule that has developed, and I believe the circuit courts that have ruled on the question have all sided with the majority rule, is that 9019 is mandatory when the trustee wishes to resolve a dispute. That is, disputes can also be resolved through the plan confirmation process, but absent plan confirmation or some other provision of the bankruptcy code, if the trustee wants to settle or compromise a dispute, it's got to happen through a 9019 motion.